Great. Mic check.
Mic check.
Oh, it looks great.
Right. Good. Okay, so we have an Instagram DM question from Carly, and she asked, intuitive eating or calorie counting?
Well. I have a lot to say about this.
Yeah.
So, okay, I think that calorie counting is taboo.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's people who are all about calorie counting to the point of maybe even being a bit obsessive.
Yeah.
There's also people who are like totally against it and think that it is like not good for mental health. I will have to say that I personally think that calorie counting is an important skill.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when starting a fitness or nutrition journey, if you don't have experience calorie counting, I would encourage everyone to try it for a couple of reasons. One, it's kind of important to know what you're consuming. And we'll talk more about the importance of like nutrition soon. Yeah. But basically, it's important to know what you're kind of consuming on a daily basis and have kind of like an idea. But two, once you learn the skills of calorie counting, you learn so much about food. You mm-hmm. learn about the importance of protein in your diet, how fats and carbs play into it, what you're eating and kind of roughly what it probably has in macros. So I think that it's just an important skill to learn and have general understanding about.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Yeah, it definitely, I think calorie counting helps, or it's at least helped me and us understand macros better.
Oh, yeah. And like, I think something that's really cool is that I now have a rough idea of what I'm eating every day. Like if I'm preparing my own foods, I can kind of look at a portion of chicken and have a rough kind of guess of how much protein is in it or, you know, it's just something that becomes natural when you do it and when you learn about it.
Yeah.
But a lot of people who may feel frustrated in their fitness journey, maybe it's because you don't know what you're actually consuming because you've never tracked it.
Right. And honestly, I was just thinking, I almost feel like calorie counting has, or like being good at it has helped me when I'm traveling and just deciding what I'm going to eat when I'm like on the road or in like another city or something.
Yeah.
I just feel like now that I kind of have it under my belt, sure, you can't know what's in, you know, a salad dressing that you get at a restaurant, but you can at least kind of take a guess with the chicken.
Yeah.
And like the lettuce isn't that many calories and things like that. Like you can kind of guesstimate what you are taking into your body.
Yeah. I actually want to touch on what you said about traveling.
Yeah.
Because going back to Carly's original question, intuitive eating or calorie counting, this is where we both have this approach that it really is both.
Yeah.
Because when you gain the skills of calorie counting, like we think that's very important, but there's going to be times where, like you said, you don't know what you're consuming because you're traveling or you're eating out. That's when intuitive eating comes to play. I think something that we all know is like America has large portions. So eat until you're full. When you're full, that's kind of your body's indication that you've met your amount of calories.
Yeah.
You know, you're not, it's not a, it's not going to be precise, but you will have, your body will kind of indicate to you when you're good.
And a couple things on that. One thing that I've come to realize for me when it comes to intuitive eating, and it, maybe it can be a helpful strategy for others, eat slower.
Yes.
Like I feel like a lot of the times people are like, I'm starved, and you're like shoveling food down your mouth.
Yeah.
Like I just feel like you need to eat slower because then you'll get full.
Yeah.
Like
you'll get full
faster.
And your body, you can like be more in touch
more in tune with your body
when you are full. Yeah.
And one more thing, just going back to her original question, I did want to just touch on what you had just said, intuitive eating or calorie counting. The question really should be intuitive eating and calorie counting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really both. It's not either or. Like, you need to understand how to intuitively eat, as well as knowing what's going in from the basis of like a number.
Yeah. And kind of having that baseline knowledge. I think what we always say, it's important to not be extreme or excessive, right? Because are we counting our calories every day? No. We will periodically reassess to because, you know, we'll have new snacks or new recipes that we rotate into our meals. Mm-hmm. And so kind of doing like a checkpoint of, okay, let me see it where I'm at.
Yeah.
Or if we have a new fitness goal, like that we want to attain. So we'll look at like what, how many calories we're eating, like in our meal, but we're not going to be obsessive with it every single day. Mm-hmm. That's when it can get unhealthy. I think, just kind of as a summary, it's important to build the skill. And I think it's really actually really cool to have that knowledge, but you don't have to be extreme or excessive with it.
Yeah. And once you build the skill, you'll have it forever.
Yeah.
It's always something you can go back on.
No one can take that from you. Yeah. So it doesn't have to be taboo. It's just something that you can do. Think of it as like a skill that you learn and then take it from there. So. Yeah. So today's episode is all about common roadblocks when it comes to starting or continuing your fitness journey. We have done some research on this. We've talked to friends and family. We also just have our own experiences of common roadblocks that we experience when it came to starting our fitness journey or just at different times in our lives. So I would say that the number one biggest roadblock that we hear a lot is lack of time and not having enough time in the day to work out.
Yeah. And I mean, it's hard. Like, everyone, you know, has a full-time job, and then you have your full-time life outside of your job. So like, it definitely is hard to squeeze it in. But I mean, exercising is, I mean, it's just a necessity. Like, you have to do it. You have to find time. And
yeah. I think that something that I want to challenge our listeners with is to reframe the idea of not having enough time. Okay. Mm-hmm. So stay with me on this. We would both agree that to start a healthy lifestyle, right? Like, just kind of something that people should maintain at a minimum is working out 3 times a week for 30 minutes. Yes. Ideally, you'd want to do, you know, maybe 5 times a week, or maybe you'd want to do longer workouts.
Right.
But just to start off, I would say 3 times a week, 30 minutes. Okay. That's an hour and a half total in your week that you're going to dedicate to working out. If you take away, let's say, 8 hours a night for sleeping, 1.5 hours is 1.3% of the time you are awake.
Wow.
1.3%, that's it.
Nothing. Yeah.
So really think about that. You, like, do you actually not have time for 1.5 hours in a week? And I'm going to just say this. Go ahead and look at your screen time. And are you sure you don't have 1.5 hours between TikTok, YouTube, Insta, doom scrolling?
Yeah. I mean, I saw a TikTok recently of this guy saying he tries to hit, like, I don't remember what it was, like 15 or 18,000 steps a day, like something that sounded crazy and like not doable. And he, and the comments were like, how are you even able to do this? Like, this sounds impossible. And he goes, if you got time to be on your phone, you got time to be taking a walk. I mean, it's true.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, shoot.
Just be on your phone, but just walk around.
Walk around. If you're listening to this podcast, which you are, get up and go walk. You know, like, that's something walk. I love. Like, if I'm catching up with friends or family, I walk and I, you know, will have my AirPods in or headphones or whatever. And of course, you want to be safe if you're walking outside and be aware. But talk to someone or listen to music, listen to a podcast, and think of it as time to decompress if you're you know, walking or at the gym or whatever.
Right,
like,
right.
It's, you really can find the time if you decide to.
Yeah. And you said something once about like trying to find time, and it's easier to fit the gym in your morning than your afternoon. What was that again?
Yeah. So basically, you know, I was reading and listening to some advice from like highly successful people. We're talking like CEOs and whatever. And, you know, they, a lot of this common advice is that they're early risers, right? Mm-hmm. And they get up early. Now, I am truly a night owl at heart. But something that I realized is if I knew I had a really busy day, I would force myself to get up early and work out. And the reason why is because nothing can interrupt your morning routine. I mean, there's really not much that can.
Yeah.
But if you're working out in the afternoon, work could run late. You have plans with friends. You're tired from work or from like a busy day. So there's so many more excuses that can come up when working out in the evening.
That's so
but
true.
But if you wake up in the morning, work hasn't started yet. No one's meeting you at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. Like,
And you're starting your day off on the right foot.
Exactly.
Like, makes you feel good.
Yes. The mornings that I've started with a workout, you can ask like my friends and family, they're like, oh my God, you're just so happy today.
Yeah.
And you're in such a good
mood.
It
really sets the mood.
It's the endorphins.
Yeah.
It's setting your day off right. So I really, again, just encourage y'all, if you really have a busy schedule with work, I know it sounds horrible, but just wake up early. I do not like doing it, but I feel better every time. And ultimately, I value my workouts enough to get up early.
Yeah.
30 minutes early or an hour early. It's really not that bad.
Yeah.
You just have, it's a mindset.
It is. And that just made me think, I'm even thinking back to my clients.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're clients that are in their 60s and are still working a full-time job. They're coming in at, you know, 7 a.m. for their workout and then heading off to work. It's like, if someone in their 60s can be doing that, we can be doing that.
We all can, yeah.
But, and, you know, I totally get, you know, you're not a morning person. I can't work out at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
I completely understand that. But having that said, I still find the time to fit it in somewhere.
Yeah.
So.
And also, I know that a lot of us work from home and you just have to be harder on yourself.
Yeah.
If you're working from home, you have ample time. I mean, think about the time you're saving commuting, or a lot of people nowadays have hybrid schedules and are at home 3 days a week, in the office 2 days a week. Those 3 days that you're at home, you can fit in a 30-minute workout, whether it's during lunch or before you start.
Right.
So there's opportunities.
Yeah. And I mean, you can get into this like an hour later, but you don't even have to leave for the workout.
Yeah, exactly.
You technically don't have to go anywhere.
Actually,
could just do it at home.
Nick, that is a perfect segue to our next roadblock that we hear about, and that is lack of variety.
Mm.
And I know you have a lot of thoughts on this.
Yeah, I've definitely heard it too. And whenever someone says that, like, all I can think of is, I mean, I don't want to, you know, sound rude, but like, that's, I mean, that's on you.
Yeah.
There are countless things you can do for a workout routine.
Yeah.
So many different types of exercise, cardio, sure, weightlifting. I mean, there's explosive movements.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, classes, find what you like.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, me and you change what we do, I feel like, every few months.
Yeah.
Like, because of, well, one, it's good to switch up
right,
what you're doing.
For your body, but
the variety.
But for the variety, I mean, it definitely, like, weightlifting is fun and all that, but it definitely has its moments of being monotonous.
Yeah.
It definitely does.
Yeah. And so, for example, like, just to kind of provide context for me, I will weight train 3 times a week because I know the value in building muscle and how that's important for our long-term health. And kind of just saying, okay, that's my thing. But to switch it up throughout the week, like, one evening, I might go play tennis. which is great, like cardiovascular activity. I love incorporating Pilates, and that can be whether I go to a class or I search Pilates videos on YouTube, which are low-key harder, and I'm leaving that feeling beat up. Going on long walks or hikes, and also my gym has like free classes, and there's HIIT classes that I can sign up for. So I'll sprinkle in other things because it does get monotonous just lifting weights, but it's also important to lift weights to some capacity.
It is,
you know?
Yeah, that's very true. I definitely like, and again, all that variety, all those things you just said. I mean, every single thing was different.
Now, Nick, I don't know if you want to touch on this, but there is kind of, just kind of as like an asterisk to this topic, some misconceptions regarding different types of workouts and what that means for your body. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. And I'll just be quick. There is definitely a lot of misconceptions around like body look and types of workouts. Like, I'll just hear people say, whether it's like friends we're talking to or a client or whoever, where they'll say, I'm really trying to, you know, tone up and like, I want abs and I want my arms to be bigger and like, I really want like bigger quads and like just to look filled in and bulky. But, and then they go on to say, but I've been, you know, doing Pilates twice a week.
Or doing yoga.
Right, or doing yoga. And it's like, those are great in their own ways, but there definitely sometimes is like a disconnect between what you need to be doing to get to a certain point.
Yeah.
And I mean, for the person I just described, that would definitely be a weightlifting client with maybe some other things kind of sprinkled in.
But, to build that physique.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, like physique and what you should be doing, there definitely are some misconceptions. And yeah, I mean, we've even been there. Yeah. Like in our beginnings, I was not very educated on what I should be doing to achieve a look that I want. But again, we'll be getting into that later for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And actually, this is kind of a fun fact that I don't think we've mentioned before, but I was actually Nick's first unofficial client.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember when we first started talking and you were helping me like so many years ago, like what, 8 years ago? You told, like, I didn't know anything about really weight training. And you're the one that really taught me about the different types of weight training movements and exercises. And just within weight training itself, there's so much variety.
Yeah.
But it does, you know, attribute to different physiques, as you said,
as
well.
It does.
So moving on to another thing that we hear a lot, and I think that this is built kind of off of variety because, okay, now we just mentioned all these different things you can do. You can do Pilates classes, yoga classes, or go to the gym and lift weights. Well, some of you might be thinking, okay, well, that's expensive. A gym membership can be expensive. Doing like solid core
the classes are so expensive
to join like a membership.
Right.
And yeah, so like some ways to navigate that. You don't need a fitness class membership.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people go to those classes because they enjoy the social aspect. And we had talked about that in a previous episode.
Yeah.
The social aspect. Like, that's great. Like, I mean, if it's doing that for you, that's wonderful. But I mean, it definitely can add up and start being expensive. I mean, it definitely can be a lot.
Yeah. And it is hard because there are some who might say, like, I don't know what to do in the gym. So going to a class helps me. And that's how I just know and learn what to do, but classes are so expensive. So since I can't afford a class, I'm just not going to work out. Well, that can't be the mindset because working out is too important. I have, you know, two recommendations for that. One, YouTube is literally my best friend. Like when I don't know something, I YouTube it. So look at different maybe fitness influencers or even just YouTube, like different workout circuits that you can do with dumbbells yeah. or at the gym or even at home that can help you. So you're not going in there with like no clue. You kind right. of have like, okay, like in this YouTube video, they showed me how to do this, this, right. and that.
Yeah. And just to go off that, I feel like, and I'm not trying to like make an assumption, but I feel like a lot of people who go to the fitness classes are beginners and they like the structure of it. And yeah. that's kind of what pulls them in. Mm-hmm. But it is important to educate yourself on fitness and different types of exercise, because the more you get comfortable with it, like you, for example, mm-hmm. you are now comfortable enough and have such a great understanding of it. You know what you can do at home. So you yeah. don't even have to leave.
Yeah, definitely. You know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Another thing kind of on doing things at home, you can just get like, if you're just starting out and you don't want to pay for a gym membership, you can just get a pair of dumbbells at home if you're just yeah. starting out. And there are so many workouts that you can do at home. I mean, I've been weight training for years and I literally have a dumbbell workout that I do exclusively at home. I yeah. don't even leave my house for it.
Right.
There's so many different things that you can do.
Yeah, there's so many exercises. I'm sure you're able to switch up the dumbbell workout like whenever you want.
Absolutely.
Because there's just so much to do.
And, you know, there are definitely affordable gym memberships. Like
there are.
I think like Planet Fitness is pretty affordable.
Like $10 a month or something?
Yeah. So like yeah. if you just need to get in, like there, look, a machine's going to do what a machine's going to do. Dumbbells are dumbbells.
Yeah.
You don't need anything fancy, truly. But yeah. again, it's so important that, you know, $10 a month, $15 a month. Yeah. Like that's something that's a little bit more reasonable than like
yeah.
a lifetime membership. That's right. like $150.
And I mean, I know we're on the topic of financial constraints, but I mean, honestly, sometimes I feel like maybe paying a little bit more could be better, because then you feel obligated to go.
Yes.
I know if I was paying a lot, I'd be making sure I was there, because
actually that is a great thing to point out. And going back to the classes yes. a little bit, so as I mentioned, like I weight train 3 times a week, but I do like classes as well. Something that you can also look into is ClassPass.
Oh yeah.
And for most major cities and maybe even like, you know, rural areas, I don't know.
Yeah, just
for
like
most
suburbs.
Major cities and yeah. suburbs, there is ClassPass, which essentially you pay a certain amount a month and it gives you a certain number of credits and you can use those credits towards a bunch of different studios
okay.
that are a part of ClassPass. So for example, I can use ClassPass to go to Club Pilates or Solid Core, or there's CrossFit.
Yeah.
Like CrossFit studios, yoga studios,
oh, wow.
and each class is just assigned a certain number of credits.
Yeah.
So that's something you can control, where it's like, okay, I only want a class once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Get the smallest package that ClassPass right. has. If you like doing classes a couple times a week, get the larger package.
Right.
But to what you were saying,
yeah.
if you sign up for a class and you don't cancel, if you cancel with less than 12 hours notice, you're getting charged $14.
Oh wow.
So you better believe my butt was waking up yeah. at 6:30 in the morning to make this class.
Going to this class. Because
$14 is a lot. Yeah. And I think it changes based off of where you live and like yeah. what the studio is.
Yeah.
But I was like, $14, that's like a Chipotle yeah. bowl. That's right. like a couple of coffees. Like, I'm not missing out right. on that. So
but
it
was enough to hold you accountable.
It made me accountable. Yeah. So that's another reason why I like
yeah.
this is like a ClassPass ad, but yeah, that's another reason yeah. why I do like the accountability.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
Okay, so next up, another one that we hear a lot is lack of motivation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big one.
Huge.
And
something that I probably continuously face.
Yeah, and I mean, I face it too, for sure. I think of exercising, working out, going to the gym, whatever, I look at it as going to work.
Yeah.
Like, it's just something I gotta do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not optional. It's not let me delay it to another time. Like it's just something I have to do, because that's how I would treat work. So
yeah.
And I mean, that works for me. Everyone has their own way to think of it. What do you say?
Yeah. And I don't know if I've mentioned this previously, but I think of it as an appointment for your body. Yeah. Like if you need to go to the dentist or get a checkup, like I think of it as something that my body needs.
Yeah.
And something similar to you that I kind of just have to do.
Right.
And then it kind of, it's really just a mindset switch. We have so much control over our thoughts mm-hmm. and our actions. And of course, it's easy to say, change your mindset, like whatever. But it is kind of a mindset switch where over time, you have to not allow excuses and just kind of...
That's so true.
Yeah.
That's definitely exactly it. I mean, there's a lot of things in life we don't want to do, but we still do them anyway.
Yeah.
And just think of exercise as, the appointment for your body or going to work, mm-hmm. but you're not doing it for nothing.
Yeah.
Like it's helping you for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. And along with that too, lack of motivation could even stem from like mental health challenges or maybe stress or low self-esteem or confidence with going into the gym. Remember that working out helps your mental health.
Yeah.
It helps you release the endorphins and makes you feel better and happier. It reduces stress. Yeah. Of course, it's easier said than done, but it's a habit that you can slowly build over time.
Right.
And you'll see the benefits of it.
Yeah.
If not immediately, after some time, you'll notice the benefits of it.
Yeah, definitely easier said than done. But I mean, I've even remembered having, like little low periods in life, but still went to the gym. And like you said, I always have felt better leaving.
Yes.
Every time.
And it's something where you're going to feel those results immediately, even if you don't feel it immediately. With time, you're going to notice the benefits of working out on your mental health.
Yeah.
So yeah, like we said, we know it's easier said than done to switch your mindset and, refocus your motivation. Yeah. But some tips that might help: find a workout buddy. Find someone that can be like your accountability mm-hmm. partner. So for example, the HIIT class that I do it with a friend. And honestly, there are some days that I can't make it because of work mm-hmm. and I'll have to text him and be like, hey, sorry, I can't make it. And it sucks. Like it feels bad having to text him that. There's something to be said about having someone that you're doing it with and having a goal together or having, something that
you can relate on that.
Exactly. Yeah. Another thing is, I love getting nice workout outfits, and you might not want to make this a habit, but whenever I get a workout outfit, I just feel like motivated to go into the gym and wear it.
I just did.
Yeah.
You didn't get my Snap, did you?
Oh, no.
I haven't opened it.
No, I haven't checked Snap yet.
Oh, yeah. I sent you my Gymshark haul.
Okay. Yeah. You're wearing your new shirt now.
Yeah. I'm wearing it right now.
Yes. Yeah. So that always helps me. And I mean, you don't have to.
I don't get workout clothes too often, but it is like a nice refresh when I do.
Yeah, it kind of like re-motivates you to like try it on. Like every new season, I'll get something.
Seasonally.
Kick off the new split or whatever.
Yeah.
And then another thing which we mentioned earlier in the episode with the variety, having a routine with different activities that you enjoy can keep you motivated, because sometimes it's like, oh, leg day again or whatever, but. Yeah. Just doing something different, incorporating different types of movement into your workouts.
Yeah.
And it'll help you stay motivated.
Yeah. And whether that's, redoing your split every 3 months or, maybe incorporating new exercises even more often.
Yeah.
I mean, I know for me, I love when I remember I have something new in the mix and I'm like, oh, I gotta go like do that new tricep thing like tomorrow.
And I honestly feel like we're sounding like such nerds with the gym and everything, but it's true. Like I love incorporating a new like workout and seeing like how I improve in it, or it's just fun to just do something different,
That's very true.
Different workouts. So So our last roadblock for this episode, and I think this is really a big one that we hear and experience, mm-hmm. is perceived lack of results.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like this comes back to one of our main themes of our podcast is focusing more on how you feel versus how you look.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's easier said than done, but that's just definitely like the way to go.
Yeah, because like we said, when we think about being active as something we need, like the appointment or like going to work, then it does help keep us active,
yeah,
because we're looking at it in a different way and focusing on how you feel.
Right.
And kind of to go off of that, we really think that realistic goal setting can help with this perceived lack of results. Mm-hmm. One way that I actually recently have started thinking about working out is having goals that aren't centered on how I look, mm-hmm. but on other aspects of working out. So for example, I have a goal of going to the gym 3 times a week.
Yeah.
And when I reach that goal, I feel like accomplished, you know, and that keeps me motivated. I want to keep up the streak and the trend of going 3 times a week. Or my goal is to lift 10 pounds heavier in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. That's something that I may not necessarily notice the micromental changes in how I look, but I feel the changes. I feel me lifting heavier.
Yeah, and it definitely adds up too. Like, I mean, a couple weeks down the road, well, then you'll look back, oh, wow, I'm at that 10-pound increase.
Yeah.
You know, again, keeping in mind everyone's body is different.
Yeah.
You know, you can't see a TikTok of someone who showed their progress in 90 days and then say, well, that's how my progress is going to look, because that's just not realistic. Your progress could very well be the same. It could not be the same. Like,
and you know what? Like, just to be transparent here, this is something that I still really struggle with. It's like, I know the facts. I know that everyone's body is different. I know that my goals may be different at different parts of my life.
Yeah.
But I still find myself feeling disappointed and sometimes even feeling unmotivated because I'm like, oh, I'm not seeing any results. And I have to then go back to that place of the goals not being around how I look.
Right.
Because there are so many factors, but it is something that I still struggle with.
I really do think that for realistic goal setting, it's so much better to have the goals and the focus be on the little things, like you said, because once you start making these goals like too big, I mean, it's only gonna potentially cause like setbacks and like disappointment. Like, I mean, I just feel like we're guilty of, we want to look this way by this trip in a month and a half. And like, although it's great to have goals, maybe just something smaller.
Yeah.
Like, before this trip, I want to do the 10-pound increase.
Or I want to go to the gym 3 times leading up to my trip.
Right.
Because you know you'll see the results.
Yeah.
Or you'll feel the results just by having a goal like that too.
Yeah. And just keeping in mind something you have said before, just remember you're already doing the best goal, which is you're already showing up.
Exactly. That's,
you know,
that's the hardest part. Just showing up.
You're already there. Like, you're already doing it. Once
you're
there,
you're doing it. Before you know it, it's done.
Yeah.
And you're going to feel great.
Yeah.
And Nick, you had mentioned before we started recording about the flu and the back and everything.
Literally. Like, why is this like section that we're on now just reminding me of that?
Yeah.
Like, not me having the flu last week for a whole week, wiped out. Obviously couldn't work out or anything. And now in the last few days, I'm like getting back into the gym, knowing I need to start not as intense as I usually am just to get going again. Well, I guess not enough. Blew out something in my back today. So now it's like, I just, you know, learned a lesson. I had to start even less than I thought I did. And now I'm going to be out even longer because I did something.
He's literally sitting here with an ice pack on his back. Like I empathize because that's happened to me too. Yeah. Shoot, when I had the flu last year, I was literally out of the gym for an entire month. That's like crazy. That thing wiped me out. Yeah. But
that's long.
I feel like we both are so like, love the feeling of the gym. Yes. And you know, we can be goal oriented and it's like, oh, I gotta, let me go back to lifting my 70-pound dumbbell.
And I'm sure there's people that can relate. Like it's hard when you do love to do something and you do feel the benefits and see the results and all that. It's hard to hold back.
Yeah.
Like when you've already been out for like a while.
Yeah.
Because your body just needs it. And like you need that boost and you just want to be back so bad. But just remember, don't go back in full force or something could happen.
You could hurt yourself for sure. Well, y'all, that wraps up the different roadblocks that we have. If you are listening to this episode and think that we missed a couple of roadblocks that maybe you're facing or that you've heard of, definitely DM them to us. You can find us at Make the Switch Podcast on Instagram. We would love to hear some roadblocks that you may be facing and give some advice on how to help them.
Absolutely.
Until next time.
Bye.